Good evening. Hope everybody's had a great afternoon. You will have to bear with me tonight a little bit. Kind of called an audible and changed things up last minute. Was kind of inspired this morning by our teen class, and so I decided after worship services this morning to kind of change what I was going to speak about tonight. And so you have to bear with me a little bit. I'll kind of be somewhat glued to my notes, and I apologize for that, but hopefully it'll be good tonight. And I do have a disclaimer. What I am going to be talking about, I know that probably most of you in here have a lot more wisdom on this subject than I do. A lot of you have probably experienced this a lot longer than I have, by many years, but I do want to talk about it a little bit from a 30-year-old's perspective, somebody who is considered, I guess, a millennial. And I think that from what I've seen so far through my life, I just want to give my perspective. And, I don't have kids yet, but I have had the opportunity and the blessing to work with young people for about 11 years. So I do have a little bit of wisdom with that when it comes to that. But I do know that most of the people in here, most of you all have a lot more wisdom on this subject than me, but I did want to give that disclaimer before we began. So, if you don't know, this evening I want to talk about for a little bit and look at God's Word for a little bit on the subject of relationships and marriage. So that's kind of what I want to look at, what I want to do, and I know that Mark has lots and lots of wisdom on that, but I do feel like I have a little bit, and so hopefully tonight you'll get a little bit of something. We will be in God's Word a lot, so if you've got your Bible, and I don't necessarily do that all the time, skip around, jump around, but we'll be doing that a little bit tonight. But before we go any further, we have it's a very special night. We have a very special guest that's not going to be a guest much longer, but this is her first time here. Miss Anna Mae Gall is here tonight, and if you have not yet met her, hope you will. We're excited for her and just for the whole Gall family, and grateful for them being with, being here, and they've done so much work already, and we just love you guys, and thank you for what you do. I think it's appropriate to have a prayer for her, so let's all pray together. Father God, we're grateful for this night together, that we can come and sing songs of praise, that we can encourage one another, that we can just be together as a group of believers and think about you and think about encouraging one another as we begin this new week. Just times like this together are so important, and sometimes we take those for granted, and help us not to do that. But right now, it's a very special night because of Miss Anna Mae, and we are just excited for her and grateful that the Gall family is a part of this church, and we just ask that you bless Anna Mae, help her to, as she grows up, to grow up in your Word, to grow up searching and learning about you. We know that her mom and dad are going to show you to her, and we just pray that you be with them through that. We're so grateful for the family. Continue to bless the family. Be with her sisters, as we know that they'll be an encouragement and have so many great memories with her and with them. So just bless the family, Lord. Thank you so much for Jesus, and help us to understand and know what we have through Him. It's in His name we live and we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning in our teenage class, we began studying and talking a little bit about relationships and dating. And honestly, this is the first time with the NYG we've really kind of dove deep and started discussing and talking about dating relationships. And we kind of had to get the definition out there first of what a dating relationship is and what it's called now. In the past it's been called courtship. That was probably a long time ago. Going steady. For a long time, I thought it was called going study, but going steady. They didn't know those two. They didn't really know those two. But now it's, I think, going out is pretty much what we call it, what the young people call it, the teenagers call it. And every time I hear that or hear some of them tell me that, I say, well, where are you going? But we kind of defined it a little bit this morning, talked about it, and I had a lot of questions for him, and those questions kind of got me thinking tonight, and really what, not just necessarily what dating but marriage looks like and what it's supposed to be as believers, as people that are striving to be in a relationship with Jesus. So the first thing that I kind of threw at him this morning and got him to think about was the fact that God is always with us. God is always around us. God is here no matter what. God notices everything. God sees everything. And God is always around. He hears everything. God spoke and the world came into existence. God spoke and the world was demolished by the flood. And one day God will speak, and the only thing that will matter is, are we in that relationship with God or not? So as we think about necessarily, not, you know, as we think about relationships, maybe choosing a mate for some, maybe some of you have been married for a long time. Me and Lacey have been married for 6 years, 6 years and 2 months, so not as long as some of you in here. And luckily she's not here tonight, so I get to talk to her. She's with our niece, Zoe. So I get to talk maybe a little bit about her. Just don't tell her what I say, but hopefully it'll all be good. But tonight, as we think about marriage and relationships dating, I want us to think about the bigger picture, okay? And the bigger picture is obviously God. But I want to narrow that down to our relationship with God. This relationship is a lot more critical than our marriage. And it's everlasting, right? And this may come to a shock. I may be a little bit out of line by saying this. But Jesus taught that marriages on earth don't carry over in heaven. In Matthew 22, Jesus was asked about a hypothetical question, a hypothetical widow who continues to remarry. The religious leaders of the day were asking Jesus which husband this woman would be married to in heaven. And Jesus' answer in Matthew 22, verse 30 is this. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Now, that may be a hard statement to accept. Hopefully you're not rejoicing. Hopefully nobody's rejoicing. For me, it's hard to imagine the day when Lacey and I will no longer be married. But there are two thoughts that really comfort me when I think about this. And the first one, this doesn't mean that Lacey and I won't be deeply in love with each other in heaven, or won't be deeply in love with each other. My guess is that I will even be closer to Lacey when we exist in these glorified bodies absent of sin. But things will be different. The second thing, I will have a union with God which is guaranteed to be better than anything on this earth. Not even close to what I'm experiencing right now. And I trust that the God who created marriage, when He promises a better future, it will be better. I think that sometimes we forget to prioritize our eternal relationships with our Creator above all things. Something I think we all struggle with in this room. And I think we have to relate properly to God before we understand the importance of our relationship with God and our relationship, whether it be marriage or dating or anything like that. People who aren't living well make what matters worse by living together. I heard that statement the other day. I'm going to say it again. People who aren't living well make matters worse by living together. You know, and as I think of what marriage looks like in my generation, in my culture today, it doesn't look like what I feel like the Lord wants it to look like. And I know it's a tough statement to say and a tough thing to think about sometimes. But I'll give you some examples. Here recently, me and Lacey have went to a relative's wedding. We also saw, Lacey actually pointed this out to me today, a person we grew up with and their wedding. So, and they were a lot alike. The wedding that we went to of a relative, me and Lacey, then this wedding of a friend that we didn't go to. We just saw it on Facebook. And they were a lot alike. And the whole ceremony, the whole thought process had nothing to do with God, had nothing to do with the Lord, but had everything to do with just each other. It had, and even as far as the universe, and I'm not necessarily for sure what that means. Mark may know more about that than me, but it really kind of is something that really bothers me because people will say, you know, I guess the universe is shining down on me today, or some quote or statement like that. And these marriages that I've seen, these ceremonies that I saw, the one we went to several months ago, and then this one we saw on Facebook, they were pledging to each other, and they were talking about love for each other, but there was no mention of God. And that really, really bothers me. I've seen that with people who say they believe in God, and there's no mention of God in these marriages, when that's supposed to be the glue, maybe. It's supposed to be everything. It's, you know, and that really bothers me. But that's where we're at today. We're living in a time where people, young people, maybe older people are getting married, and the whole focus is the spouse or themselves. And I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I heard somebody say also one time, when two people are right with Him, they will be right with each other. And that's necessarily not meaning you're going to be perfect or you're supposed to be, you know, that's just saying when you've decided to dedicate your life to God and you're striving for that, you're going to be right with each other. Like I said, I've been a minister I've been doing ministry for around 11 years. I've come to the conclusion that most marriage problems, now, please understand, I don't know everything. I'm not trying to say that I do. But from what I've seen for the past several years, most marriage problems are not really marriage problems. They're God problems. And I think that's the big issue. And that's what I've been trying to build up to, is that I think the biggest issue, whether it be dating relationships, whether it be marriage, I think the big issue is God. It's a God problem. So they can all be traced back to one or both people having a poor relationship with God or not having the right understanding of who God is and what He does. So there's a few students here tonight. Students, if you're looking for someone to date, the first thing you have to do is see where their relationship with God is, I believe. But let's be honest. The majority of the time, that's not the first thing on our mind. That's a little bit awkward and tough. But if we're going to be real and want a spouse that loves the Lord, that's what we have to do. Because a lot of times, you know, you'll ask, in this morning when we talked about, one of the questions was, what do you look for in somebody you want to date? And there was a lot of answers. A lot of answers, you know, from not being nice to attractive to being trustworthy, some other stuff, but it ultimately got to God. That's the number one thing. But a lot of times we just say that, and that's really not it. I remember a couple years ago I was at a youth conference, and I was teaching a class, and one thing we were talking about our relationship with God and what that looks like, an accurate picture of what a relationship with God looks like and how we can see that. And I believe that, you know, an accurate picture of a relationship with God can be many things, but it was really interesting to see. We did this little thing where I gave the kids paper and I said, draw an accurate relationship with God, and they did that. And when I did that, there was lots of different things, but one of the coolest things I saw was a big hand, okay, this big hand that was God, and this little hand, and it holding the little hand was us. And another image that I saw, which I've probably talked to you about before, you've heard before, was just a triangle, and at the top was God, and then at the bottom, or at one side, there was husband, and the other side was wife, and they were both trying to go in that direction. And I really think that's what a healthy relationship, healthy marriage is God's at the top, and they're both going and striving to do that. But as we think about marriage and what that looks like, instead of listing off and jumping into a list of just things and attributes that can help a marriage or what a marriage is supposed to be, I think that it's important to look at what the Bible tells us about what our relationship with God is supposed to be. And through that, that's what our marriage is supposed to be like. So I just have a couple. And the first one is fear God. And I think that if we fear God, okay, if we fear God, both husband and spouse, if we fear God, it's going to be a glue to help our marriage. Psalms 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." So, the psalmist says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then we see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge in Proverbs. And then we see the fear of the Lord leads to life in Proverbs as well. You know, knowledge and wisdom, pretty much the same thing, maybe a little different. But if we're searching for wisdom, if we're searching for life, it begins with the fear of God. So all those things, everything pretty much that life encompasses begins with fearing God. Everything pretty much I'm all about begins with fearing God. But I'm guessing those are two words when we think of marriage, our marriage, we don't necessarily, you know, feel like they go hand in hand. But nothing could be more foundational for our marriage. Without a healthy fear of God, we will not fully enjoy life and love. Without it, our priorities will be completely off. Yet if a healthy fear of God is at the foundation of who we are, a beautiful life and marriage can be built upon it. Psalms 147 verse 11 says, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him." In Matthew 10 verse 28, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Most people underestimate how terrifying it will be to see God. Hands down, it will be the most shocking moment of our existence. And we can't ignore that fact. You know, you look at Scripture, you see many times, many different people react to the first time they see God. There was John who collapsed like a corpse in Revelation 1:17. There was Isaiah who cursed himself and his sin in Isaiah 6:5. There was Job who immediately saw his own foolishness in Job 42, verses 5 through 6. I can pretty much guarantee that the first time we see God, we're not going to be thinking about our family. We're not going to be thinking about all the things we've got going on in life. We're going to be thinking about something a lot more important than that, our soul. But each response differs in these passages, yet all are characterized by fear and awe. It would be foolish to think it would be different for us. This is not just an Old Testament mindset. It's also found in the New Testament. But oddly, I meet very few people who think about that moment. We don't want to think about that moment. Is it because we don't really believe it's going to happen? Is it because we think, you know, it's not something that, you know, it's something going to happen way down the line of our life? I mean, we necessarily don't think about that. Why do we not think about that? It's probably because we've got all this other stuff going on. We think about vacations, and we think about work, and we think about school, and we think about money, and we think about all these other things, instead of thinking about this moment when we're going to see God face to face. We think about coming trials and worries we have in our life. Why don't we think about seeing God for the first time? I think that it's important to think about that as often as you can. It's something that I try to think about as much as I possibly can. This is also something I think about. Also think about it for Lacey. I imagine what Lacey's seeing God for the first time. I want her to be there. I want her to see God. I love her so much, and I want her to see that. Most of us get nervous in front of people. So how in the world can we prepare to meet the one who dwells in unapproachable light, 1 Timothy 16? Fortunately, the Bible was written for that very purpose. If you're looking for someone to marry, you better believe they need to fear God, and we do too. So I think that's the first thing that I wanted to talk about and think about is not just marriage, but relationships, dating relationships too, is fearing God. It's so important. Second thing, stare at God. Okay, stare at God. I remember the very first date that me and Lacey went on. She didn't consider it a date. I did. We went to the movies, and saw a movie. And if you're not familiar with McMinnville, the movie theater is one of those movie theaters that, luckily, it's very inexpensive. But there's not a lot of people that go there. The floor's sticky. Your feet like stick. It's like literally glue. They've updated a little bit. They put some new seats in, but. I remember we went to a movie and got dinner, and she didn't consider it a date. She just wanted somebody to go see the movie with, but I considered it a date. And also, she doesn't consider this a date either. tell you this one. She's not here, so I can tell you. So she's a few years younger than me. In high school, she was, in high school for me, she was my high school crush, okay? And so one, I think I was maybe a junior or senior, I asked her to go to a Christmas formal, like a church Christmas formal that the youth group was doing. And I remember I picked her up, went to her house and all that stuff, and she never considered that a date. And I considered it a date because I was, but I was intimidated those first times I went on dates with Lacey, even though she didn't consider them a date. I was very intimidated to go on a date with her. 6 years, several years later, more than six, several years later, that's changed significantly. I now feel more comfortable with her than any other person on earth. Time in a person's presence changes everything. Relationships change everything. All right, time in a person's presence changes everything. In Revelation 4, the Bible speaks on speaks of high angels who are in the presence of God. It says that day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." All they ever do is look at God and declare how holy, how great He is. They're doing it right now. They'll be doing it in an hour when we get home tonight. After we get an eating dinner, when we go to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, they're going to be doing that. When we wake up, they're still going to be doing that. Every moment, they're giving God glory and saying, "Holy, holy is the God, Lord Almighty." They're in His presence. It's worth every moment of their time to be in His presence and proclaiming His greatness. So wouldn't it make sense to spend at least a small portion of our day doing the same? Have you done this? Are you doing this? God wants us to worship Him and thank Him all throughout the day. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. It's not just something we do on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's something, you know, not just something we do at A-teams. It's something that we're doing every single day, giving God glory. We don't just, you know, we don't just do it in specific times. Something that I believe that glorifying God is something we're to do constantly. And I really do compare glorifying God and worship on the same level. Are we supposed to be worshiping God constantly in everything we do? Maybe so. That's a discussion and maybe a thought for another day. But I do believe, like I said earlier, time in a person's presence changes everything. Time in God's presence changes everything. And this is a mistake, I think, that a lot of people, a lot of couples make. They spend a lot of time looking at themselves, looking at each other, but very little time staring at God. When God is not the focus, the structure of their lives, the aspects of their lives aren't the right thing. But when God is the focus, things change. Psalms 27, verse 4, David had only one request. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." That's it. David had it figured out. David wasn't perfect. David made a lot of mistakes, but he understood that dwelling in the house of the Lord, seeking the Lord's presence constantly, was the answer to the problems. Imagine standing beside the throne of God for a moment. One instance in His presence, and everything feels small, right? Insignificant. The silliness of the issues that grab our attention, our affections, those are gone. So David tells God that all he wants to do is see Him daily, to stare at Him. If the manuscript of your prayers were put up on this big screen, what would it say? Over the past month, over the past week, over the past day, today, what would we see? What thing have you repeatedly asked for? What things have actually been answered? What prayers have been answered? Our requests show us what we treasure, and it reveals our opinion of God. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, God is in heaven and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. That's pretty powerful, I think. You don't need to go looking for God. He's with you right now. Like I said at the beginning of our thoughts tonight, I talked about how God is always listening. God is always here. Take time to be with Him. You don't have to come up with these just beautiful prayer, these beautiful words to give Him glory, to give Him praise. Let your words be few, like Ecclesiastes said. This may be completely a new experience for you. Get alone with Him, asking for nothing. Read the description of God in Revelation 4 and 5, the picture of Him that we are given. Read that. Read His presence in prayer. Don't talk too much or ask for much. Just think about Him and tell Him how much you love Him and care about Him. And I think it's important to do this in our marriage together. And I know a lot of times that can be tough. Our lack of intimacy with God causes a void that we try to fill and substitute with some of the frailest things, like wealth or pleasure, fame or respect, people, or maybe even marriage. But ultimately, God is the one who completes us. You know, I think John has used that illustration before of the movie. I think it was Before My Time. I don't remember. I just went blank on the actor's name, where he says, "You complete me." Tom Cruise, there we go. Tom Cruise, maybe not Before My Time, I don't know. But he says that, and it melts the hearts and of the women in the room and whatever. But that's really not for us, for people who are in a relationship with God. Our spouse is not the one who completes us. God is. So, and then the last thing I want to throw at you tonight, protect our marriage. This is something that as I have been preparing the class for the young people and just thinking about the importance of marriage and relationships and dating relationships, just how important it is to protect the marriages we have and what they mean. Things are different nowadays. Sin is more accessible and acceptable than it has ever been, maybe, in my opinion it is. Two specific areas that come to mind that are deadly, deadly, deadly to marriages, in my opinion. Two things, pornography and flirting. Those two things are some, the things that absolutely kill marriages. I'll never forget this. When I was growing up in McMinnville, there was a mall in McMinnville, and it was called the Three Star Mall. Now it's more like the Three Store Mall. But back then they had a bookstore, and I just went blank on the name of the bookstore. But they had this bookstore, and I can remember going to the bookstore as a kid and getting books. They also had like all kinds of different like trading cards, like baseball cards, Pokemon cards, all kinds of stuff like that. And in the very back of the bookstore was all the magazines, and it was like going to a Books A Million where they had the whole back wall of magazines, kind of like that, like Books A Million have the whole back wall of magazines. And I'll never forget, me and one of my friends went one time, and we were young, maybe 9 or 10, my friend, we were back at the magazines, and my friend looked up and said, "Why are those magazines covered up? Why can you not see those magazines?" I didn't know then, but now everybody knows those were the bad magazines. Those were the dirty magazines, the ones that are covered up. And back then, that was how people looked and got access to the bad things. And now you can look at that stuff on your phone, on your tablet. It's so easy to access that, and it's almost considered just a normal thing, not even a bad thing. And as you think about flirting, when we were younger, for somebody to flirt, they actually had to do it in person. Nowadays, you can do it through text messages, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, all these things where nobody sees it except for the two people that are doing that. And these two things are just absolutely killing marriages. Things never change. God still sees it. God still knows it's there. God still hates it. Doesn't matter how much, our world says it's okay and says it's right. Excuses don't justify it. The excuses of I'm not getting enough tension, or, you know, stuff like that. Excuses don't justify sin. And the answer to sin is still the same. Fear God. Love for your family is not always enough to protect your family from your own wickedness. It's a deep-rooted knowledge that a holy God is watching that will steer you from evil during the most alluring temptations. We've got to remember that. We cannot be deceived. God's not, you know, God knows and God sees. Galatians 6:7 says some powerful things. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We got to remember that there's an enemy who is seeking to destroy our marriages and is constantly destroying our marriages. And our battle is not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12, we know that verse by heart. So we can't safeguard our marriages with, you know, date nights and vacations and counseling. Those things are important. Those things are needed. But those aren't the things that are just going to save our marriages. Those things are important. We have to see that God is what's our marriage is supposed to be all about. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Prayer is powerful. We cannot neglect the Bible and understand that there's so much power in that and understanding. As I said earlier, we are doing a dating and relationship class with the young people, and we've still got several classes to go with them. We didn't cover a whole lot. But as I have studied for these classes and as I have prepared for this was just some of the things I thought about when I was thinking about marriage and thinking about dating relationship, was the fact that we've got to fear God, we've got to stare at God, and we've got to guard our marriages. Those are things that are so important. And I think that, like I said, that the illustration earlier that God is at the top, one spouse is right here, the other spouse is right here, and they're both going towards God. That's how. Marriages last and stay together because you're both seeking the same thing. We've got to remember that we have a God who loves us and a God who cares about us, and He wants us. So, those are my thoughts on marriage. As we always do, we will offer an invitation. But before we do that, let's have a prayer. Father God, we're grateful for this time together. I ask that you please bless everyone here tonight. I ask you to please bless all the marriage relationships here. There are so many great relationships here that you've blessed for so many years, and I ask you to continue to bless those. Help the younger ones, the younger married couples, the ones that aren't married yet, to learn the good things, to learn from these marriages that have been successful and lasted for so long, to know that God has been put first, to know that you've been put first. Help us to understand that and learn from that. Just continue to bless the marriages here. Be with the ones that aren't married yet but are in dating relationships, that are searching for a spouse. And please just help us to strive to glorify you in everything we do. Help us to know that glorifying you is our purpose and our goal. And we look forward to one day being in eternity with you. It's through Jesus we live and we pray. Amen. If you have a need tonight, I know that this is not necessarily a really moving thought tonight, but if you have a need tonight, whether you're not a Christian and you've been thinking about it, and tonight you want to tap into that relationship with God through baptism, or maybe you just need prayers of the church, whatever you need, we ask that you come right now as we stand, as we sing.